Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Neppe. Last January, actor Woody Harrelson wrote, directed, and starred in a movie called Lost in London. Now he's bringing the movie to Iowa City. On Thursday night, he'll be screening it in front of an audience at the University of Iowa Memorial Union, followed by an interview and Q&A. The movie is inspired by real-life events and takes place entirely during what Harrelson describes as the worst night of his life. It is full of laughs at his expense. Here's a moment where he's trying to get past the bouncers at a hip nightclub by convincing them that he's famous.
What have I seen you in?
White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, from the 70s?
90s. Indecent Proposal?
Tia Jaka.
Yeah, you saw it?
No. But my grandmother loved it.
Oh, well, tell her hi from me.
She's long dead.
Not unlike your career.
Anything else in this century?
Okay, I'm in a play on the West End. You like drama?
I pay to be depressed. Come on, man, get in the back
well,
of the
just line. Go there, Jerry. Get away from here.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
What is wrong with you?
Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot.
Oh, it's not
true. Isn't it nice to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody
goes. Stop making noise there. Just go to the back of that line and you daft twat.
I spoke with Woody Harrelson last week. Lost in London, the film that you're going to be showing at the University of Iowa, it was a really ambitious project. But you wrote it, you directed it. It was all shot in one go and live streamed into movie theaters. What gave you that idea? Why make a film like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure why that came to be, because initially it was just I was going to shoot it like any normal film. But then I have always thought about the concept of doing a movie and shooting it in real time. And I was excited about that prospect, but I wasn't thinking I'd do it with this. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I actually could do it with this, you know. And because it all takes place sequentially, and so I got onto that idea, and then the idea came later of, geez, I guess if I'm able to shoot it all in real time, I could conceivably live stream it into theaters while while shooting it, and I didn't really. I didn't know if it could be done, and a lot of the people I asked who were technical people said, no, it can't be done. And then, I finally figured out it could be done. So that's what we did. It was actually on Friday, it'll be a year ago, that we did that. It was the 20th in January 20th in London.
So not only was this a film that you performed live and streamed into theaters, but it's also a film that explores what has to be one of the very lowest moments in your life, following a period you were caught in a compromising situation with three women. There was a photo. It was published in a tabloid. At this moment, you were at risk of losing everything that was important to you. It was embarrassing. It's also something that most people had forgotten about by now, I think. So why explore this in a film?
I don't know. I guess because it had such a huge impact on me, and it really, it did feel like I was going to lose everything. And in the end, it was, the level of appreciation I have for, my wife and my kids, my life, I learned a lot through it. And, I guess at the time I hoped I'd forget about it as soon as possible, and hopefully, anyone else who heard about it would forget it. But then it just stayed with me, and I felt like it was, what it is ultimately is kind of a cool, weird, subversive love poem to the wifey. And I think she takes it that way.
So not only did you make this film and make yourself very vulnerable, but here you are. I mean, you're traveling to Iowa City, Iowa, showing the film and then talking with the audience about it. So opening yourself up for many questions. What drives this?
I mean, there's got to be 84 to 93% of what I do. I don't know why the hell I do it. But in this case, you know, I'm kind of excited about it because I love the movie, and it is a comedy, even though it's built on the more dramatic elements or almost tragic elements. And it's finally going to be seen by... I just want to see how people respond, if they laugh, if they walk out, if they hate it, or whatever. I'm just interested.
Well, I think they'll laugh. They'll squirm.
Yeah, it's a little squirming. There's some squirming involved for sure. But and then you're doing the Q&A afterward.
Yep. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That's great.
You know, this film, you kicked off 2017 with this film in January, last January. And I was looking back over the other films you were in that were released in 2017. So that's six films in 2017. Five films in 2016. You work an awful lot.
Well, yeah, that's interesting because I am a very, very lazy person. So it's kind of, it really doesn't well represent me for you to say six, you know, in 2017, five, 20, you know, because I'm really lazy. And I don't know, but all those things, the projects were so good, I just had to do them. It's one of those things where, and, you know, a lot of them little indie movies that, you know, no one ever saw. But to me, I'm glad I did them because in the end, those films will still be around and even when I'm gone, and I'm quite proud of them.
In the movie Lost in London, in the beginning, you're in a play on London's West End, and you have a bit that you do complaining about drama. Why do I do drama? I like comedy. But you do play a lot of dramatic roles. Is that something that really appeals to you, to kind of disappear into a character? Because I guess for a lot of us, when we think about Woody Harrelson, we probably think about Woody Boyd on Cheers. I mean, there's this personal character that resonates with people and probably got you typecast a little bit. But is that exciting for you to leave that behind and disappear into a really dramatic role?
I mean, I think that went off the air in 93, so I loved it, but it's not like every time I do a dramatic role, I think, okay, now it's a departure from Cheers. I don't really think that way. I mean, I don't know that I can't imagine a better experience than, you know, the opportunity I had to get to hang with all those incredible, talented, creative, funny, funny people. Back then, but you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that kind of thing again. You know, I prefer comedy. You know, I really do. I don't know, but like a movie like Glass Castle, fantastic movie, wasn't well distributed by Lionsgate, but I gotta say, you know, I even yesterday got a note from someone who's just a friend of a friend who just went on for like two pages of how much impact that movie had on them. So I can't really, you know, regret doing some of these, you know, some of these movies and some of these performances because if people get that kind of reaction, it's great. I'd love it if a lot of people, I'd love it if every time was like three billboards and just people were really fired up about the movie and went to see the movie. But there's no control over that. All you can try to do is make as good a movie as possible.
And that's Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is getting a lot of attention, a lot of critical acclaim right now. And your role in that film is so incredibly nuanced. I mean, here's a character that's really unsympathetic in so many ways, very easy to dislike, but you really show his humanity.
thank you. Yeah, I try to do a lot of dislikable characters and try, you know, show the humanity. But no, I don't. I find that character pretty likable. I think it's Sam Rockwell who does a real magic act, you know, because he really loathed his character at first and for a while, and then by the end of it, you just love him. Of course, Francis is amazing. Yeah, that's a great movie. Martin McDonagh really, he knocked it out of the park.
You have played in recent years a couple of really iconic roles. I mean, one of them is in The Hunger Games. So you've got a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers who see you and think of Hamish from The Hunger Games. That has to be kind of interesting when you run into people on the street. That has to have changed a little bit, the kind of people that run up to you and get excited to see Woody Harrelson. Has it?
Well, yeah. I mean, but I think between that and Now You See Me and Zombieland and maybe True Detective, I don't know. Like, I was playing basketball over at Emory College with my buddy. Just came back a few minutes ago. And, man, I must have met, 90 kids. And so they were responding to all of those things, you know, so it's nice that, because I think, had it not been for those projects, I'd just be, approached by fellow octogenarians.
Well, and you just finished shooting a Star Wars film, Solo, a Star Wars story. You play, a mentor of Han Solo. And
I don't think mentor is the right word.
Well, tell me more.
Necessarily the right word. Well, let me see. What could I tell you? He's a criminal. So in a sense, I guess, to give a good illustration of a life of crime, in that sense, he's a mentor. But really, it's going to be great. Ron Howard's, directly. He's actually shooting some reshoots right now. These guys are so serious about, they really care about that movie and making it great. And so I get the feeling it's going to be great. And, certainly having Ron at the helm is kind of cool.
So here you are, in your mid-50s now? Am I right about that?
Yes, ma'am.
You're in incredible demand and just being offered some really terrific roles. Does that surprise you at this point in your career?
Well, yeah. I mean, gosh, I remember when I was on Cheers and I was on Cheers for, let me think, I think it was 8 years, yeah. And I remember being on it 6 years and never getting anything. No, couldn't do any other project. Just no one would cast me. You know, and I guess it was a bit of a typecasting situation. But then, it started to shift with, I did a movie with Michael J. Fox, Doc Hollywood. And then where it really changed was when Ron Shelton cast me in White Men Can't Jump. And then that started to really shift things. But yeah, for a while I thought, okay, I guess it's just the one role deal for me, you know?
Is there a dream project out there that you'd love to see get made in the next couple of years?
Oh, actually, there is a project that I'm pretty psyched about. It's about Clarence Darrow. Do you know anything about him? You know, he's like a major, amazing lawyer but he would fight for the poor and the underprivileged and the workers, particularly for the workers. And then, he wasn't a perfect guy. He'd also do stuff for, some of the industry that was creating problems for these workers. But
anyway, there's a book that I read a little while back, and I was reading it and really getting into it, and then my wife looks, I mean, I was loving this book, and my wife looks at my at the book and says, "Oh my God, that was my professor in college." And Jeffrey Cowan, who wrote this book, it's called The People Versus Clarence Darrow, that was her professor in college, which is a wild coincidence. And anyway, I'm going to try to get that made.
Well, and I think the reason I know of Clarence Darrow was because of the Scopes monkey trial about human evolution
probably,
and teaching
it. Yeah, that's one of his more famous, probably his most famous trial. But this more concerns a trial. He did a trial to try to get these, like a guy who was the head of the workers' union was responsible for this dynamiting outside of the L.A. Times because the L.A. Times would not allow unions, and the guy who owned it was really adamant about not letting unions into L.A. You know, this is back in the early 1900s. And, you know, they were organized in San Francisco and a lot of other places around, but they wouldn't let it in L.A., so they, just as a warning salvo, they blew up some dynamite outside of the L.A. Times, not realizing there were all these giant ink barrels, which immediately ignited. And so the whole L.A. Times building just went up in flames, and 21 people were killed.
Oh, wow.
So it was like the trial of the century. But anyway, I don't want to go on and on about that, but it's a pretty cool project.
And certainly some stories to tell. I'll go see that.
Yeah,
if you bring it out, I'll go see it. Woody Harrelson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, Charity, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you.
Right.
And we'll have a fun time.
It should be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Woody Harrelson. He is bringing his film Lost in London to Iowa City this week. I'll be interviewing him on stage following a screening of the film that starts at 7 p.m. at the University of Iowa Memorial Union. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.